week is the start of a big church family adventure. If you've been around recently, you'll know that in 2024 we have committed as a church to reading through the whole of the New Testament in a year, using a scheme called 5x5x5. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. We read one chapter of the New Testament for 5 minutes each day for 5 days a week, and then use 5 ways to dig deeper into what we've read. And as we mentioned earlier, if you haven't already got one, please do get hold of one of these Bible reading plans so that you can join in. And this week we began with the Gospel of Mark, which is the shortest gospel and the one which was the earliest to be written. Again, those of you who were around last year will know that from April to July, we looked at the Gospel of Mark together as part of a series on discipleship. So I suspect that as we read it again this month, some of it may feel quite familiar to us. So I wonder what you have noticed if you've read and reflected on the first 5 chapters of Mark this week. Maybe you've noticed the huge variety of people that Jesus encounters, apparently in a very short space of time. In just these first 5 chapters, Mark records Jesus' interaction with 10 different individuals, not counting his 12 disciples or the many other people that he healed or set free from evil spirits. We also read that he spoke to groups of people, his family members, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and of course the crowds who flocked to listen to his teaching and witness his miracles. Or perhaps you noticed the various names or titles given to Jesus in these first 5 chapters, which point to his unique identity. Messiah, Son of God, Holy One of God, Son of Man, Bridegroom, Lord of the Sabbath, Son of the Most High God, and perhaps the most intimate and powerful of all, spoken by his Father at his baptism, My Son, whom I love. Or maybe you were struck by how fast-paced the narrative is, and in particular, just how active Jesus was. The places he went, the people he interacted with, the things he did. So much happens in 5 short chapters. One of the 5 ways to dig deeper suggests asking the question, how could my life be different today as I respond to what I'm reading? And what I'd like to do is take an overview of the first 5 chapters of Mark and highlight some of the things that Jesus did, which if we do them too, will transform our lives. So if you haven't yet had a chance to read the first 5 chapters of Mark, may I suggest that you hit pause, make yourself a cup of coffee, and take a few minutes to read those first 5 chapters of Mark's gospel, and then come back when you're ready. So firstly, Jesus prayed. Most people don't get up early unless they have something important to do, or so that they can fit everything into their day. Jesus' first and most important priority was his relationship with his Father. And so we read in chapter 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You don't have to get up early to pray, but it can often be the best time of day to spend uninterrupted quality time with Father God. And whilst it's great to pray with other people, we do need time alone with God at a time and in a place where we won't be distracted. Maybe at the start of another year, this is a good opportunity to identify again when that time is and where that place is for you, and to ask the Holy Spirit to protect it for you every day. Secondly, Jesus proclaimed. Jesus is very clear from the start of his public ministry that the reason he came to earth was to preach the good news, to announce the kingdom of God. Chapter 1, verse 38 says, "That is why I have come." And he did this through his teaching and preaching with the authority that he'd been given by his Father God. He made known his Father in so many different ways, but he insisted that the kingdom needed to be spoken about, as illustrated by the parable of the seeds in chapter 4, which demonstrates the power of words to change lives and the importance of receiving and nurturing the word of God. In verse 22, Jesus says, "Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed or revealed, made known. And whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." And he encourages his listeners, "If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." He goes on in verse 24, "Consider carefully what you hear." And over again, Jesus stresses the importance of hearing, not just any words, but his words, God's words. His words bring revelation. And so the more time we invest in studying and applying God's words to our lives, the greater benefit we will experience. Which is why we're spending this whole year doing it. Give time to embracing the words of Jesus and you will not regret it. Not only that, but much of Jesus' teaching is done through stories. We have four parables in chapter 4. And in verse 33, we're told that with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them. Everyone loves a good story. A couple of months ago, I challenged you to write down or record, if that's easier for you, the story of how you became a Christian. Can I repeat that challenge? I did it last year after reading Phil Knox's book, The Best of Friends, which we read as a church. And I find it so helpful. It gave me something to refer to when I was talking to people who don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, because it clarified what he'd done for me and what he means to me. And it's important when we do share our story to include our failures as well as our successes, because that's what real life is like. Nikki Gumbel says, "We may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with them through our vulnerabilities." We're all called in different ways to be proclaimers of God's word. How can we do that in 2024? Thirdly, Jesus was proactive. He actively sought out opportunities to show God's love, to put the gospel into practice and to bring life in all its fullness. As we read through Mark's gospel, we'll notice that the word "immediately" appears frequently. Apparently it's 41 times in all. And this reflects Jesus' urgent desire to make God known wherever and whenever he could. He didn't just preach. Even just in these five chapters, we see that he healed, he forgave sins, he drove out evil spirits, he shared meals with people, he calmed storms, he walked a lot. And no doubt while he walked, he talked, discipling and teaching those he was with. I remember Floyd Davis saying several years ago that every morning he wakes up and he asks, "Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And what do you want me to do today?" The exciting thing about being a disciple of Jesus is that no 2 days are the same. You never know what God is going to say to you, and you never know how he's going to use you. So let's be proactive followers of Jesus. Fourthly, Jesus was personal. He dealt with people one at a time, and he treated them as the unique individuals that they were. He knew what every single person needed, and he met those needs. Let's look at just one example from these first chapters. The demon-possessed man in chapter 5. He was ostracized by society, and he experienced self-harm. Jesus did not judge him, but instead he saw his potential to live in wholeness. And after he'd freed him from the demons, he encouraged him to return to his hometown and tell everyone what Jesus had done for him. And he did. Verse 20 says, "So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed." Incidentally, the next time that Jesus went to that region, the Decapolis, in chapters 7 and 8, 4,000 people came to hear him. So the man's testimony obviously worked. One commentator has suggested that maybe that's why Mark places this story of deliverance so soon after the parable of the mustard seed in chapter 4. The man may have felt he had little to offer, but his life had a huge impact. Jesus is saying that God can do a lot with a very small seed. The issue is not how much you have, but what you do with it. Use what you have, and God will multiply it many times over. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus treats people as individuals. And he still does, setting the example for us to do that with others. Mother Teresa once said, "Help one person at a time and always start with the person nearest you." Let's be present to the person in front of us, just as Jesus was, and show his love to them. It's easy at the start of a new year to be a little overambitious with our plans and expectations of ourselves, which means it's also easy to be disappointed. Why not resolve to share love or kindness or truth with one person this week? Just one. You may remember the knitted angels which we distributed in residential homes and to individuals in the community for Christmas, with the message that God loves them. 4 people came to me separately to tell me how those angels and what they represented made a difference to someone. In one case, the person had been praying for years for a spiritual breakthrough in the relationship. In another, the gift of an angel was an answer to prayer for mental well-being and healing. And I'm sure there are many more stories of those angels. Throughout the New Testament, people met God through Jesus. And they can continue to meet him through us as his disciples. Above all, Jesus was motivated by deep compassion for others. And that's not something which we can manufacture ourselves. It's a gift of God. Maybe that's a New Year gift that you'd like to ask God for today. Finally, Jesus was participative. In other words, he didn't work alone. Chapter 3, verse 14 tells us that Jesus chose 12 people that they might be with him. And this is one of the best ever definitions of discipleship. If you spend time with Jesus, you will inevitably become more like him. And in this gospel, we see how the disciples' lives were changed completely. They literally left behind their old lives to follow Jesus. And then they started doing the things he did. Not only that, but he encouraged them to become disciples who make disciples. The second half of that same verse says, and that they might go out and preach or proclaim the good news. It's a self-perpetuating process, a virtuous circle. Jesus was God. He could have done everything alone, but he doesn't. He chooses to collaborate, to work alongside first the 12 disciples, then later on the 72, then the early Christian church, down through the centuries, and now with us. Mother Teresa again. I can do things you cannot. You can do things I cannot. Together, we can do great things. How can we participate in the work of God in 2024? So by looking at the life of Jesus at the start of Mark's Gospel, we've identified five simple but important principles to take hold of at the start of this new year. Jesus prayed. Jesus proclaimed. Jesus was proactive, he was personal, and he was participative. Five ways in which we can go deeper with God this year. I wonder which one you're most drawn to today. A warning, however, for those of you who, like me, are often tempted to start the new year with a list of things to do, even holy things to do. As we finish, can I remind you of our primary calling as disciples of Jesus, which we identified under the last of these points? Right at the heart of these five chapters, in chapter 3, verse 14, we read that the disciples were chosen and called that they might be with him. Being with Jesus is the most important thing they were called to do. And it's the most important thing that we are called to do. The heart of prayer is being with Jesus. Proclaiming the gospel, whether in word or action, flows from being with Jesus. We can only make a difference to people's lives or join in with what God is doing by being with Jesus. So why not make that your resolution for 2024? Let's pray together. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this simple invitation of yours to be with you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that each one of us might respond to that invitation. And that this year that lies ahead of us will be a year in which we choose to spend time with our Lord, with our Saviour, with our friend, with our brother, Jesus. Lord, we know that everything else comes from this. Everything flows from that simple spending of time together. Lord, would you continue to speak to us as we reflect on this wonderful opening of Mark's Gospel? Would you continue to draw our attention to what it is that you're saying to each one of us? And would you help us to put you right at the center of all that we do?